You're listening to the audio message of the Sunday service of The Gathering QC, a local church that meets at 3928 12th Avenue in Moline, Illinois. You can also find us on the web at thegatheringqc.com.
All right. Good morning. Good to see everyone. Stacy, man, she was like, we're going to have some fun after the break. So I've got a new song I want to try. No, that's not it. That's not the exciting part. Just glad that you're here. We're excited to be together on the Sabbath day, the day that the church gathers together to worship the Lord. So we are on the final week of our, it's time to get off the new year, new you, right? It's not so new anymore. We're getting into close to February, but we're going to finish that up today. Next week, we plan on starting a new series on relationships that will go for several weeks. So would you do me a favor? There's invite cards. I think it still says really good news, but it's kind of a generic invite card. Would you take a couple of those this week and invite people to come? And we're going to be talking about relationships and marriages and relationship with kids and a few other things as we head toward Easter. So it should be a really great time. Please do that. But this week, we're ending up the new year, new you, and I'm calling this the final prayer because we're going to be using Paul's prayers for spiritual growth. You remember we talked about the first week of this series that it's time to make a change, that there's a time of evaluation. How are you doing spiritually? It's always good to kind of check in and discover where God may be asking you for more. And so we talked about that change. It's time to make a change. We use Paul talking about leaving those things behind and pressing on. So this is a year, hopefully, of pressing on spiritually. And then the second week, while I was enjoying, and Kathy and I were enjoying the Mississippi Gulf Beach, Stacy spoke. Yes, I was rubbing it in. And she did a great job talking about being all in. That as we make changes, we know that out of our identity as God's people, that's where we develop our love for God and our love for one another. So growing spiritually is based on reminding ourselves of whose we are and that we are the children of God and that there's always more for us. And then last week, I talked about believing in God for radical change and used the story of the healing of the paralytic about how all those things changed for him as he walked forward in faith. So this week is the final prayer that Pastor Paul prays over three different congregations that they would grow in their spiritual journey. And so we're going to be using a passage from Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. If you've never read these short epistles of Paul together, you'll notice that there are lots of similarities. And one of them is the way that he opens up for in prayer for these congregations that he has written to. So listen to how similar these prayers are, and I thought this would be a great ending to this series of talking about, you know, starting off for spiritual growth this year and listening to Paul's prayer for these congregations. So the first one is Ephesians chapter 1, beginning 15 through 18, says this: "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." Isn't that a great prayer? Now listen to what he does in Philippians, another congregation, and this is his prayer for the Philippian church. "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." And then one final in Colossians, this is what he prays for the church at Colossae: "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Three letters of Paul, opening with the pastoral prayer and asking them to continue to flourish and grow in their spiritual life. I'm going to suggest like three, real quick, three things, and then we're going to have a little bit of discussion and some testimonies today. But first of all, let me just pull together just the way these three prayers work with these three different congregations. First of all, a new you. Notice that we all need receptivity to the work of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to change, if you're going to make spiritual advance in your life, you have to be receptive to the work of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, he puts it this way, may God give you the Spirit so that you may know him better. And in the Colossians passage, it said, we ask that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. One thing is clear, abundance in your spiritual life is made through the wisdom and knowledge that comes through the Spirit. It's not through, you know, book learning or just a knowledge, amassing knowledge. It's a deep work of the Spirit of God. So we learn from that two different things. Is that, first of all, you have to be ready for change and growth. That's the reason we've been preaching this, is to kind of put some salt in your oats and make you thirsty for change and growth and evaluation of new things that God has for you. But the second thing, you have to be ready for it. But the second thing is that you have to be open to the Holy Spirit. You can't change yourself deeply enough. You can't turn over a new leaf. You can't just think, I'm going to do some things different. To do the deep work that God wants to do in your life, you have to be receptive to the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit will show you what needs work. The Holy Spirit will pull back the mask that sometimes we wear so that we can see ourselves better. The Holy Spirit will give us the depth of knowledge of who really God is. He'll teach us in ways that we cannot teach ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to do the deep work of change that God wants in our life. So we have to be ready for it, and then we have to be receptive to the work of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that I wanted to point out is, I like the words he uses, is that we need to be abounding with new spiritual life. In the Philippians passage, he says that you may abound more and more. Don't you like that word? How many of you like the word an abounding spiritual life? That is what God wants for us. In Colossians, it says he wants to fill you, abounding, to fill you, so that you will bear fruit and grow and be strengthened and give joyful thanks. So Paul is talking about abounding, not just getting by. There's a difference in abounding and getting by. There's a difference in being filled and just showing up to church. That's what Paul is asking for. And notice, I like what he says in the abounding. He not only just uses the word abounding, but he uses the word more and more, like lots of abounding. You know what I mean? That he's emphatic that our spiritual life should be filled. It should be abounding. You see, you were designed to thrive in your spiritual life. You were designed to abound with more and more love and knowledge and work that God has for you to do. And then the third thing, quickly, is that a new you is that so that you can live a life as a worthy witness. Each one of these passages has a so that. He wants us to abound. He wants us to be filled so that you may know him better, so that you'll be able to discern what is best, so that you will live a life worthy of the Lord. All three passages has a prayer that you'll be filled and abound with God's love so that your life would be lived as a worthy witness. You thrive spiritually so that God is glorified and your life is like light to a world that needs to know that God is working. And so the that passage is that so fill us and so have this abounding work in us so that we can be a witness and a testimony for what God is doing. Those are three things from this prayer that I think was important for us to hear today as we do this final prayer, that each of us would abound in your spiritual life. Now, Stacy had a wonderful message. I got to hear it online. And she's going to come up now. I'm just going to ask her a couple of really quick questions. And then we're going to have some testimonies as well. Stacy came up, and we had three kind of different messages. And we appreciate her preaching the middle one. I just wanted to ask her, have you kind of experienced what we've talked about, kind of where you've had to evaluate where you are, where you want to go, you know, who you are in Christ, how you're going to move forward spiritually, and why is it important that we just don't coast, but that God is always wanting us to draw, you know, deeper and more and thrive spiritually?
So you wanted to start with the easy question.
Yes, that's okay. That's the softball question. Yes.
Okay. So the first time I can think of was actually back in college, which was probably about 7 years ago. And then I was like, wow, that seems like a lot longer now that I say it out loud. And maybe if you want to talk about new year, new you should bring up something more relevant. And as I was writing my responses in my journal here, the actual first page was from January 1. And it was, God, I am tired of where I'm at. I am tired of pretending. I'm tired of pretending I have it all together, of pretending that this is all that you want from me. And so let's start over. So it was actually January 1, and that inspired me, the work that God was doing in my heart to bring the message that I did, of just, I think when we have those, man, I don't like being stagnant at this place. I think that is the Spirit working in our lives, because we serve this big, huge, powerful God that the more you get to know of him, the more there is of him. And he says, what you know about me now isn't all that I have for you. So growing in our spiritual life is really growing in a relationship with a God that we can never fully know everything about. He wants us to, but it's always that journey of always looking for more, always going after more of him. And it's not necessarily the do this, do this, do this. Be in a better relationship with me, and I will show you who you can be. I will help your spiritual life and health to abound, because that's what I want for you, because there's a lot of me to go around, essentially, is what I think is why we do that, why we continue to seek out God.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about it's easy to get lulled to sleep spiritually, just to be sluggish spiritually. I think we've all have times in our life where we, you know, you kind of wake up and you're like, wow, I'm not reading like I need to. I'm not excited about coming to church like I need to. I'm not getting in a small group and accountability, and I'm not getting that. And for me, one of the reasons I have preached this message was this year. Yes, even pastors can get dry spiritually and realize at first of this year, I'm like, I've got to do some new spiritual disciplines. I've got to do something. You know, the old adage about, you know, the insanity is doing, you know, the same things over and over and expecting different results. That's where I needed to decide I needed to do things differently. I needed to abound. I needed to try new things. So that was kind of what it was for me, that it's hard to just stay even. You know, a lot of times when you stay even spiritually, you're kind of going to sleep. You need to abound in new ways to connect with God. And so that brings up the next question. So practically, I asked about three things. If you were going to share someone that says, yeah, I want to abound, you know, I want to be filled, I want to feel just alive spiritually, fresh. Practically, what kind of three things would you share?
Sure. The first would be, remember your why. You know, I can go to the gym and be like, I'm going to do squats and push-ups and pull-ups.
Oh, now you're meddling.
I've never done a pull-up in my life. I don't know why I think this is the year. It will not be the year, I tell you that. But then that gets old, because I don't just want to do that. If I want to be a healthier person, that's where those decisions start from. So if I look at a pizza and I say, would a healthy person eat this? Then I either have to say, yes, they would, and not eat the pizza, or yes, they would, and eat the pizza, therefore I'm not a healthy person. So if you remember your why with your spiritual health as well, you know, I want to read the Bible more. Why? Because I want to get to know the heart of God. I want to be transformed into his likeness. I want to be able to respond as the person of God that I am or that I want to be. So remember the why, remember who you are, and then make those decisions, and then it becomes easier. I'm not just a person who reads my Bible or just prays to get it done. I'm a person who is a child of God who wants to know her Father, or I am a servant of the Most High God, therefore I will go out and serve or pray and do those things. So the first, remember or find your why. I think that's a good place to start. And then the second would be, after you set your new goals or your habits, find someone, whether it's a mentor or an accountability partner or a pastor, to share those with. Have them hold you accountable. Share with them ways that they can encourage you, that they can motivate you, because there will be those ebb and flows where you're like, it's not fun anymore. And then you'll need someone to be like, hey, how's that new practice going? Not to like belittle you or say you can't do it, but just to be like, remember what you want in the end. Not just today, what's easy today, what will be easy again tomorrow, but what do you want long term? And then find someone that you can share those with. Mm-hmm. And then the third is, try practices or habits that excite you. You know, I am not a great reader, so saying I'm gonna read the Bible through in 1 year or, you know, read X amount of books, that's like not fun. And I already don't wanna do it, and it's week 4 of the new year. But what are some things that I'm already doing that I can kind of add those to? So don't try to do all new things, add new things to what you're doing. If you wanna read scripture more, and you love to go on walks, why not plug your headphones in and listen to scripture? Or when you do an activity, like I had a professor in college, whenever he used the air dryer to dry his hands, he would let it run its cycle, and he would pray that whole time, and he would not stop praying until it ended. And it's like, what, 20 seconds? But if you're in that kind of hurry, then maybe that practice isn't ready. So just find little ways to add it into your daily life. If it's on your commute to work, maybe don't throw on the radio station. Spend some time in prayer, listening to God. If there's a person that you don't feel particularly like being Jesus to, how can you pray before you have an interaction with them? Or how can you pray for them when you're not having interactions with them? So don't try to add all new things. Add new things to what you do.
Yeah. Good advice. The second one really spoke to me about the finding a mentor. How many of you in our church says, I have a group, I have a person, I have someone that really helps me abound spiritually? How many of you would say that? Oh, wow, that's a good number. Yeah. Good. That's a real key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you kind of go to sleep at the wheel, having people around you that are just kind of continually feeding you and helping you, that's really, really important. Let me just, my quick three things, and they kind of play off in mind, was develop new spiritual habits. And I like what you said about, you know, not all new, but one thing that I've added was I got a prayer book this year. And and some people don't like written prayers, but for me, it was something new. And so it had some scripture, and then it had a prayer, and then it had a place for you to add your own prayer, and it's a short devotion that you do in the morning, and you read through scripture and pray, and it's been really helpful. It's just something new, something different to try to get me to work a different spiritual muscle, and that's really helpful. The second thing, like a pull-up, yes, is a spiritual pull-up.
Not the diaper. Yeah, never mind.
No, not the diaper kind. bless your heart.
Yeah, I better go. I'm done.
And then the second thing I was going to say, and serve somewhere. I remember the kickstart that serving someplace spiritually, that if you want to grow yourself, get your eyes off yourself and put it on someone else for a little while to help them in some way, to serve them, wow, it will kickstart your spiritual life. And then the third thing, I like what you said. What did you say? What was the last thing you said? You didn't like to what?
Read.
Mm,
Let
okay.
me guess, Dwayne.
Okay, can I call for the elders of the church, and we're going to pray? Because my third one is read.
No, yes, Dwayne.
You didn't know that, did you? There are so many good things to read, and I want to encourage you that I know some people say, I just don't enjoy reading that much. That's okay, but just getting There's so many good things to read. So much that I actually, as I was working through this, I put together a list of spiritual growth, really great books. And I've got them back here at the back. Made about 75 copies. And these are just like spiritual growth folks. I treat a book as a conversation partner. It's like an accountability partner. You don't have to buy everything the book is saying, but it's a conversation to help you see things differently. There's Dallas Willard, Richard Foster, Robert Mulholland, John Ortberg, N.T. Wright, Ruth Haley Barton, Gary Thomas. These are, and some online resources to where you can do it online. There's a lot of devotional helps that you can find to try to find something new and fresh that will speak to you. And so I hope to make readers out of all of us, right?
You made that sound like a limited time offer. 75 copies left, folks. Get to the back before they're all gone.
We can print more.
Yeah.
We better start the copier now. Warm up the copier now, because I know they're going to, they're only a dollar a piece. You can get on back there. Thank you.
I have nothing
after you're going to, okay. Now we get to an exciting part is not just have a little bit of dialogue, but we ask for some folks that, sense that God was doing some newness and some changes and some depth and just to discover what God is doing in their life. So we have a few testimonies coming up. Dean Fox is coming up, and he's going to share just some of the new, fresh ways that God is moving him. And so he's going to take just a few moments and describe some of the great things God is doing. So everyone know Dean, right? Let's give him a hand. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to sit right here out of the way.
Hello. Firstly, I'm sorry if you don't understand everything I say. I talk funny. So I've never been a huge fan of like measuring my life in years, but I'm kind of, the theme of my thing is kind of new season, new me. Because I've been through a few new seasons in the last few years. When I met my lovely wife, Isabel, I just kind of come out of a season of a really bad breakup, and I was stuck. I was a new person, which is such a godly thing, because if I'd met Isabel as the older person, being from a different country, what it would take for the relationship to carry on, I probably wouldn't have followed through. I would have just thought, nah, this is too hard. I don't want to leave my home. Like, I'm just not going to follow through. So I had this newfound kind of strength in God to go, this is going to be really hard and really long and really expensive, but I'm going to go for it because I feel like God's in this and she's incredible. We met in California and then started that season of a lot of patience, a lot of flying. Patience has never been a strong thing for me, so it was another way that God just made me new in this process of 3 to 4 months apart, seeing each other for 2 weeks, 3 to 4 months apart, which is pretty brutal, especially as you get closer and the relationship grows, and then you get engaged, and then you have to leave a week later for 3 months, and then get 2 weeks, and yeah, all the while doing immigration process, which if anyone knows anyone who's been through anything like that, it's very stressful. But God was there the whole time. He got us through a long-distance relationship, whereas my previous relationship was 3 houses down the road. So I had to have a new strength for how to do this. But God was there, and there was so much peace and patience and strength. And again, that carried on through the move. I mean, leaving my country, leaving my home. Like, as I said, 3 or 4 years before that, I would never even have thought of that because I was just happy there. And I was happy at the end. I'm just saying I was in a place where I was like, I never want to leave this place. This is awesome. But God just opened my mind up to a new way that I hadn't thought about the future. And then obviously coming here was like, it's a very different country in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways it's the same, but a lot of ways it's very different and takes a lot of getting used to and leading up to getting married and settling into our own place was a whole different season of being like displaced and having to move country, but also not have a permanent home. I lived in 2 or 3 places, And then we got married, and it's adjusting to that. So I do feel like the beginning of this year is like, okay, we've been married for 2 months at the end of the year, and now we're like settled. Okay, now I can start my new life. Like, God has got me to this point, and I know He's going to carry me further, and He's provided for us in this time of me not being able to work and finding a home in this church, and everyone's been so amazing. I'm trusting for more new strength, more provision, and a new me this year.
Amen. Mm. Amen. Good. Thank you so much. I'll take that. I've got two microphones going. Sorry. He's from South Africa, if you don't know, and so that's the accent. And God has really just expanded him, and as he said, so we appreciate that so much. Kelly Svensson, come up. Kelly's just going to share about just some of the things God's doing in her life, some of the abounding things that God has in store for her.
So for those of you that don't know me, my name's Kelly, and I'm from the Quad Cities here. And just some of the things I wanted to share are, I think a lot of us have a similar testimony where we grew up our whole life knowing Jesus. I grew up in a Christian home. I've known Jesus as long as I can remember. And I think it's important to realize how important that is. That is incredible what it means to have known him my whole life and where and how his hand has worked through in and through my life. So I grew up knowing him. I met my husband when I was 15. I knew when I met him he was the one. We got married when I was 18, moved away. We lived in Chad's hometown in Minnesota the first few years of our marriage, and that was really when I could feel like God is really growing me in my own walk. It's all about my journey now as an adult. And so for those first probably 10 years of our marriage, we moved back here. I went to college, started working full-time at Deere. We had kids. And anybody who has kids knows God teaches all kinds of things about love when you have kids and patience. So we had the kids, and you know my walk was maturing just little by little. And what he started to show me is, you know, that his power is in our surrender. And I remember distinctly surrendering my kids to him when they were little, because gosh, fear can really just grip you. And if you're holding on to something so tight, you can't let God take care of it for you. So I let go of the kids and I gave them to God, and I love them, but I know he's got them. And so I continued to grow in my walk, teaching the kids. I taught Sunday school for years and years. I wanted to be sure the kids had a good base like I did. And then I remember I said to God, here I am, use me. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And be careful when you pray that, because he called us to Louisiana, which was never part of what I thought would happen for us. And we moved 1,000 miles away from home.
Great seafood.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There are blessings
sorry,
in that.
My mic's on again. Yeah.
Yes, there are blessings right in that, the gumbo. But we moved away, and in that time, again, tons of opportunities to see God's hand and why we were there and how we were touching other lives. But also, it was the hardest time I had ever had in my career, because I faced evil for the first time. I worked in an extremely dysfunctional place. And it was tough to be a Christian in that place, to be faithful, to have my integrity, and to be loving to people who were hateful, just to be honest. So I definitely grew in that place, but I also learned as we left that the things that I prayed for, the justice that I sought for the people there and that were within my control, wasn't in my time. It was in God's time. And that was a really big lesson for me, to understand his timing and not mine. So we came back to the Quad Cities, and just more surrender. And I got introduced to the Wellsprings ministry, where I serve. I still serve. I'm serving. I love serving. And through that, I'm learning even more about what the power of prayer is, how God works in and through each one of us. And I would say right now what I'm really hearing is more about surrender. You know, anything that we're holding on to, that's what we need to let go of. Anything that I'm afraid to lose, I have to let go of. And the more that I let go, the more God can move and work in and through me. And it's just been amazing to see what he can do when you live a life of surrender to him and his will. And so that's my prayer now, that I'm surrendering my will, and instead I want his. So whatever that is, no matter what, that's what I'm seeking.
Wow, that's good. That's a good word. Thank you. Giving it to the Lord, surrender, that's a great word. Thank you for that. And then last is Todd DeVolder coming up, and he's going to share just a little bit about what God is doing and continues to do in his life. So we're excited to hear from Todd today.
Well, thank you, Dwayne. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. A new year, a new you, you have to know your old past. And for me, I had to revisit that when Dwayne asked me to speak. And I was like, how am I going to do this? This isn't easy. Because I don't know all of you. So I'm speaking to people I don't know, people I do know. So my childhood, I was raised in a church, an evangelical free church, small church like this, which was kind of neat when I came to the gathering. It's like a reflection back to a childhood. My parents took me to Sunday school every Sunday. We went to church. We did, you know, the youth thing. And in fourth grade, they sent me to church camp up in Timberlea, Wisconsin. And I received Christ as my Savior in fourth grade. But I liked it so much, I had to do it the next night, too. And it was like, wow, did I miss something? I got to make sure I get all the notes and everything and do the prayers right. And it was really cool. But being raised in a Christian family, that doesn't mean there's not problems. And when I was 17 and I went water skiing after school one day, I come home and my dad is crying at the kitchen sink. And that crying is and there's a pastor in the house. And at that moment, I'm like, what's going on? And they go, well, your mom just died. And your mom died and I didn't have a chance to say goodbye. And I'm like, wow. And all of a sudden, my life just crashed. My dad and I started drinking together at 17 years old. I had alcohol in the basement. I went and came home. And it was a point where my addiction to alcohol began at 17. I didn't realize that for many years. I thought it was just the natural path of a teenager, but it wasn't. And for the next 8 years, I drank and drank and drank. And it's a sad state of affairs. I lost connection with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I actually had allowed the bottle to become an idol. And that's against the commandments. And so in 1987, I got married, found this wife, and we had a wonderful marriage. But the problem was we were companion drinkers. And that doesn't help when you're an alcoholic. So when in 1989, our first child comes, and that's a wonderful day. Here I'm sitting in the delivery room, and all of a sudden I have this light bulb moment. I said, God, I need to go back to church. I need to raise my children like my parents raised me, in a church, going to Sunday school, going to church, having dinner after church, and being a family. And we did that, but the difference was my parents brought me up in a relationship-type church where you read the Bible, you did devotions. But when I went to a Lutheran church, and nothing against a Lutheran church, they have their purpose, but it was more service. I would service by helping them with the preschool as a board of director. I'd be a member and doing things like that. But that wasn't a relationship. That was just checking the box. I went to church, checking the box. We took the kids. That's not doing church the right way. And I have three wonderful children. All are faith-based. All go to church and follow the Lord. My son wanted to become a youth minister, and I'm proud of him for that. But, you know, I did the right things. But as soon as the kids left, we call it in the addiction, the rock bottom moment. August of 2014, I'm served with divorce papers. I get two DUIs within 2 weeks. I lose my license, and my work has told me, you need to go to rehab. Well, let me tell you, if they tell you you need to go to rehab and you're not ready, rehab doesn't work. 45 days after rehab, I started drinking again. I lost my job. And it was a point of just pure brokenness. I've lost everything. I was living in a materialistic world before that. I, you know, doing well at the job. And all of a sudden, everything crashes. Money doesn't matter when things crash. But my kids still loved me, and that was the key. I brought them up right, and they said, Dad, we just need you back. Well, I wasn't ready to listen because I didn't think I had a problem. You know, I can do the stupid, insane things again and again and again. But after 3 more DUIs in 3 years. And that 5th DUI, I'm looking at potential jail. I'm like, God, help me here. I need help. And he said, you know, he spoke through me and he said, Todd, you got to go back to rehab. And this time I'm ready to go back to rehab. So I did the rehab the right way, but I did it with a faith-based method. I prayed every day, even though guys were like, oh, you don't need, there's God. There's nothing. The doorknob's your savior. Well, no, the doorknob isn't. God's my savior. That's who's going to save me from my addiction. And so now, as of January 13th, I've been sober for 3 years, haven't touched a drink, and now I'm able to give back. My tools in the toolbox for recovery, well, I use Celebrate Recovery and in 1 year of a 12-step program. I go to men's Bible study religiously every week. I meet with guys who want to talk about God as a relationship, not just as a check the box, I went to men's Bible study. I go to couples studies. I actually teach a chemical recovery class now at Heritage at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning. That's the way I'm finally able to give back to my addiction and say, you're done. Enough's enough. They say you had to change your playgrounds. I changed them. All my drinking friends are no longer my friends I associate with. My friends are the church people here I go to church with and that I go to Bible studies with. I teach Sunday school so I can help those broken children that come and say, my parent has an addiction. How do I deal with it? Because they tell you the broken things in privacy because they know you're not going to say anything. And I'm able to say, it's okay. They will get better. Just pray for them. Pray at home. Pray at night. Pray with mom and dad. So what am I sensing that's happening new in life? That's what this is all about. Well, God has blessed me with the opportunity to help with addiction by putting on a class every Sunday morning. That's the way I'm able to give back to that addiction. He blessed me with an equally yoked relationship that I prayed for with Rita, who's my fiance, and the one that's brought me to the gathering, who's helped me recenter and come back to the smaller church, which is like a reflection back to when I was a child and a child of God and having a relationship with God, but also with a family. I have new Christian friendships, but I also have deeper opportunities to lead people to Christ, either at work or in group settings. I've actually given away 6 Bibles at church to clients who say, why you got a Bible on your desk? Well, take it, read it, see where it leads you. And now here at the gathering, I have this relationship with Christ that I've not felt in a long time. I feel the close community and the association, and being asked to speak is just like, oh my gosh, God, thank you very much. In closing, the past doesn't define who you are. There's always hope in the darkness, because with God, all things are possible. Thank you. Wow.
Good job.
Amen. Team, why don't you come back up? We love, you know, community voice or discussion or testimony, whatever you call it. It's just so good to take some time. 3 different, you know, responses, 3 different ways, 3 different circumstances, but all 3 of them speak to what it means to abound, to be growing, to be listening, to be letting God use you in new and fresh ways. And so that is our prayer. I hope that you will take, you've got these scriptures in your handout. Take these 3 scriptures from Paul, and I hope this week you'll read them and pray them over yourself, that you will abound, that you'll be filled, that you will be renewed in the sense of his greatness and his glory. So I thank those for sharing. And now, as a response, we all get to come and find ourselves around the table of the Lord. We do this as this side comes to this table and takes a piece of bread, puts it into the cup. Middle comes this way. The outside goes around this way. It's a way we as Christians remember that Jesus Christ that gave his life for us. He gave his life so that we can find the abundance of living for him and with him. And so we want to invite you to the table. There's also a candle table in the back if you want to lift up by lighting a candle of prayer. There'll be people in the back that if you want a word spoken over you of just praying over that need. So we're going to take just the next couple of minutes to just come to the table or go back for prayer. and let the Lord solidify us. Remember I said there's two things. We've got to want to change, and we've got to rely on the Holy Spirit. So this is the time to come to the table of the Lord and saying, yes, Lord, we are thankful for what you've done for us, and we're stepping into your love and grace so that we can abound in your Spirit. So feel free to come to the table of the Lord as we worship together.